Carol was going to play something beautiful. I think everything our organists and pianists and singers do is something beautiful. So I didn't know you were talking about the song itself. So I apologize my country ways, but that was beautiful as I expect. We are in the book of Ephesians. We began it last week. The marvelous place, the center of all types of commerce and business and education and advancements in the part of Asia Minor, which we call the Turkey area today. It was a powerful city. The ships went through there all the time and bringing good news and bad as well and different influences. And Paul went there. We pick up in the first chapter, beginning with the 15th verse. Chapter 1, verse 15 of Ephesians reads this way. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Dear God, let us remember one another in our prayers. We've given you a list today of the ones we're aware of and would speak of those who need help, and we know there are many more. So bless them, strengthen them, and give them your guidance and help. Help of the Holy Spirit in all your ways, your will being done. We pray for our nation in such turmoil and trouble. Most of it is self-induced. A lot of it's when we've allowed those who serve the other master, Satan himself, to be in charge or to influence us. Let us be strong in our convictions and justified in serving you. Bless our military, our missionaries, our first responders, our doctors and nurses, all of our teachers, the medical workers, even our government officials, and help them do their task properly that we may be assisted in living peacefully. We pray for the souls of the lost, Father. May we be influential in helping those in need. Give us now strength to serve you. Give us a good time of fellowship after a while. And bless these words in the speaker. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. For this reason. Now, do remember, this is the Apostle Paul, who was quite long on words. But he put it down for this reason, the reason of Christ being in our lives. He said, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith, the Lord, and your love for God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers. Do you have a daily prayer time? I don't care if it's when you first get up, when you last lay down, in the middle, at a traffic light, but try to keep your eyes open. Probably is a good idea there. But do you have a time where you set aside 1 minute, 3 minutes, 5 minutes for God? I know as a parent whose children have gone away to college in the past, we liked, mobile phones were good back then. We could, in a few moments, they wouldn't have to go by. But when Becky and I were first married, it was quarters. Had put nickels in the payphone at the college, a caller. 2 minutes for 5 nickels. They ran out awful fast. But I like that time of communication and the letters and all. But God allows us and expects us to talk to him regularly because we know it is worthwhile because he listens. We're told he hears and answers our prayers. All throughout the New Testament, even the early on in Peter, when we first think about the Gentiles coming into the church and being welcomed, the centurion servants, prayers went up to God with alms and supplication, it said. It was a sweet smell to God to hear our prayers. Why should we not talk to him? I mean, if you've seen the Christmas carol, the Christmas story, you know, you shoot your eye out, Ralphie. They wait in line all the way down through the hallways to tell Santa Claus why they want. Why could we not stop and talk to Jesus and tell him what we need? Not what we want, what we need. And we do hear back. It may not be a verbal communication. It may be a feeling. It may be a thought. It may be something else comes up. We need to understand that it's for us. So he says, I have not stopped giving thanks to others. He isn't even praying for himself. He's thanking others. That's why we have our collective prayers here on Sunday, but that's not enough. I keep asking that God of our Father, Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Now we're told in the book of Acts 2:38 and following, What must I do to be saved? Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right there, the Holy Spirit is given to those who are accepting the gift of salvation from Jesus. It's there. The problem is, a lot of times we carry around stuff that's there and we don't use them. I suspect in the back of your purse or wallet somewhere or in a drawer back home, you've got your original Social Security card. Anybody have the original Social Security card? Look at you! Better than half. How many of you have gotten it out lately and looked at it? The original. Two of you. Three of you. Well, two of you married, so I don't count. We've got it. But do we use it? Some of you may have a debit card or a credit card, which can get you in trouble, but you get it out, and you probably get it out a lot more than you get your Social Security card out. And then there's maybe an old phone number, an old business card somebody gave you. What I'm saying is, when we have something, let's put it to use. We have the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, you all know, those of you who have been here for at least 3 months or 14 and a half years, know that I'm a very conservative person. When I talk about the Holy Spirit, I'm not talking about jumping on the pews and throwing songbooks and dancing in whirly dervish and talking in unknown tones. That is not at all what the Spirit's job is. The Spirit's job is to support. He says in the first book of Acts, first chapter of Acts, wait for the Comforter who shall come to you. I will send you a Comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. He's to be there for us. We are never alone. And what we need to know is that's that Spirit that's with us. Use it. He says, may the Father give you the Spirit, now just of being with you, but the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. I often thought that I wish that I was born to my grandparents. Now let me, don't. It's not that my parents were bad. But my grandparents, who were in their 60s when I was born, always seem so much smarter than my parents. Well, you laugh, but is that not true? They don't get excited about the little bitty thing. Oh, you got a C in math. You know? C's halfway there, and you're better than a halfway person, so maybe you ought to try a little bit. I mean, that's, Dad said, C in math, no TV for the rest of your life. You know, one of those things. And my grandparents seem to have wisdom. And it says revelation. They had some knowledge. They taught me how to steal eggs from a chicken, if it's my chicken. They would teach me how, you know, when you're cutting chewing tobacco, which I didn't, but he did, how you cut away from you so you don't cut your finger when you're with a knife, you cut away from you, and all kind of stuff like that. My grandma taught me when I was making her hot coffee, put a spoon in the cup when you pour the scalding water in so it don't blow the cup all the way. Or if you put ice in a glass of tea that's just got through boiled, you put a spoon in it. Remember the spoon? It doesn't keep it from cracking. That's wisdom that they had. Well, we're expecting a little bit more from the Spirit, but that's what I'm talking about. The wisdom of knowledge and of understanding and of applying what we have. I mean, how many, Irina? 1,000. 14,000 pieces of cloth became gifts to the needy. By this bunch. 14,000. I can't even count that high. I'd have to start at 13,999 to get there. But we should use what we have. Because the talents God gave us are the ones He wants us to use. And sadly enough, a lot of people don't use those talents. Oh, nobody wants to hear me do this. Nobody. There's somebody better at this, isn't it? Excuses. 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 I myself and most of you have sat in front of preachers who are far more eloquent than this Kentucky boy. But I give it my best shot each week and God will get it there. And I can make all excuses. My growing up preacher was 6'6", wavy gray hair, had the voice of Charlton Heston and the looks of Adonis. I was never going to get there. But I tried. My next preacher, he was great. He was 5'6". I could handle that. Little squeaky voice. But he was smart. I liked him. You see, we should strive to be the best we can be. And God's Spirit will help us. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be entertained in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance of the holy people. Dick, will you give me a bottle of water? Please. Chuck, that's fine. Now, that's in English, my English teacher, I'd have got that B in, a C or D in English. That's a run-on sentence. But Paul can say what he wants. I'm still going to read it. Listen again. I pray that the eyes of your heart, that's what you see with. I have an allergy in my lung. It's breaking up and it's just... So you're going to get a full sermon or a piece of one. I'm not sure which. But he's praying that the eyes of our heart, that means our soul. Thank you. That our soul can be used and do what is right. Praise the eyes of our heart. May be enlightened, may be lifted up, may be usable. You ever get a new pair of glasses after having one about 3 or 4 years, all of a sudden, whoa, those are colors, and those are shapes, and there are edges around that line, you know. You see a little bit better. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which you were called. We should not be negative people. I mean, true nationally, we live in the best country in the world. Yes, there are faults, I'll buy that. But our poorest are richer than most people's, average or rich people. We have talents, abilities, and opportunities to do it, and we don't a lot of times take advantage. And we just say, Lord, give me this, Lord, give me that, Lord, give me something else. Well, folks, sometimes we have to go out and earn it and make it happen. That you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable power for those of us who believe. That's quite an elevation. Now, the note, he didn't say for everybody. God's gifts are there for everybody, but everybody doesn't have the right to them. If you call AAA, because you have a flat tire, and the first thing they're going to ask you, that 1-800,000 different numbers you have to call, you have a AAA card. No, well, then you're not a member. I can't do it. You've got to have that membership. Well, our membership is that we've given our life to Jesus through the water, grave, and baptism and for the confession of our sins. It's on the back of your program. Look on the back of your program. It's there every week, our statement of faith. And because we have done that and we believe and we serve Jesus, then we are promised things that others aren't because we have qualified through the blood of Christ. Understand, it's nothing we did except accept the gift. And that's why we should always be enthusiastic and to take a Disney term, although I'm about through Disney now, to take a Disney term, Pollyannish. We should look for the best. We may see the worst at times, but I promise you, God's got something great waiting on us. We fell in love with Florida years ago. Matter of fact, I did in the 1950s when my grandparents were snowbirds. And I said, I'll live in Florida one day. Then my parents became snowbirds. I'll live in Florida one day. Then we had a place to come. And we would work 50 weeks a year. About 40 of them in cold, nasty mud or snow up to your knees, saying, I'm going to Florida in 3 weeks. I'm going to Florida in 2 weeks. I'm in paradise for 2 weeks. Now I got to go back. Oh. We'll be back at spring break. We need to look forward to something and be excited about it and not be ho-hum and drab and dreary. God did not make us ho-hum and sad and dreary. We've made ourselves that way too often. We say, well, God doesn't love me, or I don't deserve any better. And we try to find excuses. The excuse is, I'm not doing my job. I'm not looking for the right things. I don't want to be helped or to help. I don't want to be healed or to heal. I don't want to serve or be served. I just want to sit back and let it happen and be mad about something all the time. You've met people like that. The Bickersons, now none of you are here old enough to know that name, was a radio show. You remember they used to have shows on the radio? The Bickersons. And she and he would go at it like all the half hour of the time when they weren't advertising Marlboro and Chesterfield King cigarettes. They just went at it the whole time. Some people just like to be Bickersons. They don't want to think anything good can happen. How sad a life that is. Beautiful day. Yeah, it's going to rain. Here's the rain. Yeah, but it's going to be sweaty after that and steamy. Yeah, we'll find something. Gas went down, yeah, but it's going back up. And we find something wrong instead of enjoying what we got. Goodness. Paul was beaten and beaten almost to death, if not to death and resurrected. Paul was shipwrecked. He was bit by that snake, all this kind of stuff. Did he give up? No. Because he knew what Jesus promised was far superior than anything else we could imagine. The power, verse 19 and a half, the power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him on the right hand in the heavenly realms. Comma. One paragraph at a line at a time. The power that God has for us was the same power that God used to bring Jesus from the dead. Therefore, if he could bring Jesus from the dead, why would he not, as he has promised, bring us back from the dead as well? What a hope that is. I've done, and I'm sure Frank did a lot, I know Job's done a lot of funerals in my life. Two kind of funerals. Ones I enjoyed doing and ones I didn't. Now, I'm not happy-dappy about it, but let me give you the difference. The ones I didn't mind doing, the ones I enjoyed doing, were persons I knew belonged to Jesus. They served him. They worshipped him. They were Christians in every way. They confessed, were baptized. Those were easy. Because I sit right there and look at that grieving family and say, what you worrying about? God's got a place for him, for her, and for you, and all those who believe. It is a... I'm not going to have a funeral. We're going to have a party. I'm in a picnic, barbecue. Becky's already been instructed, except the store they're supposed to get the barbecue from closed. Barbecue, going to have baked beans and coleslaw with vinegar in it. Not with vinegar in the coleslaw. Remember that. And then maybe potato salad. I don't know. I don't like potato salad that much. But the other funeral is those who don't know Jesus. And I can't make a promise to them. Now, God can very well do what God very well wants to do. And I'm not going to try to stop God from doing what he wants to do. But I do know that on the one hand, salvation is promised. Resurrection is promised. The pearly gates are promised. The golden streets are promised. The great walls of gems and diamonds are promised. I do know that to those who belong to Jesus. The other, there is no promise. I kind of say that's a one-sided choice, at least to me. And we should be happy and excited about it. Absolutely, positively. The same power, the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him on the right hand of the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. The power of God is greater than the kings of all times. At the point of time this was written, they had the Chinese power. They had the mongrels and the Romans of all those people up north, Roman power, Greek power. There have been a lot of nations that have come, Egyptian power that have come and failed, the African nations that come and failed. And those to come, I mean, quite honestly, since then we've had the Dark Ages, we've had the Knights, we've had Hitler's regime, we've had communism, a lot of evil powers that seem to be strong. And you know, this past weekend was a tremendous weekend. I was a little bit upset. I tried Wednesday night, which is on the 5th. I tried Wednesday night to find a war movie. I mean, I'm not going to say who doesn't like war movies, because most people don't. I wanted to see The Longest Day or The Saving of Private Benjamin or something like that. No, it was sing-song shows. Give me a break. Finally, on Thursday night, The Longest Day with every guy that's ever been in TV, you know. Everybody was there. And I sat there and I watched it. Had one or two things been different? Had the clouds not broken? Had Hitler not been asleep because he took a sedative and wouldn't let the Panzers come forward? One or two things would have changed that war immensely. Now, whether we lost or not, that's up to God's hand. But he made it work in his way. Because his power is greater than the powers of the world. And the powers of the world may say it's a terrible place and may try to make it worse and harm people and kill young babies or unbabies or unborn babies and all that kind of thing. The world may do that, but that's not acceptable by God. And therefore, it should not be acceptable by us. Yes, we may go against our family. We may go against our friends. We may go against our nation at time to time. I read the last page of the Bible. God wins. Keep that in mind. God wins. With that, we can't fail. We go on. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him, meaning this is Jesus now. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. We're told in the last two chapters of Revelation about the great coming. And it talks about he looked up and there was a church, a bride, adorned as a bride, Christ's bride. It was God's gift to Jesus. And he gets to celebrate it with all of his brothers and sisters who have given their life to him. What a great time that will be. This October, Becky and I are going back to Lexington, Kentucky for our 50th class reunion. We will be the only two there that hadn't gotten older. Because when I look in the mirror every day, I see the same blonde-haired, 145-pound guy that she married at graduation. You know? Don't buy that. We will have changed. Some have gotten better, some have not. We will have changed. The truth be that when the time comes, that God comes to take us home, sends Jesus and the angels to come take us home, we'll change again. I don't know how I'm going to look in a robe, but I'm ready. Particularly maybe you've got a little gold fringe around the bottom. Okay, I don't know. But we'll be ready. It'll be great. We can look forward to that. That's the promise that he's made. And that's what makes all these hard days of our lives well worth it. And the struggles. And the time we give. And the money we give. And the effort we give. And all the love and prayers for everybody else. It's worth it. It's well worth it. We go on in chapter 2. As for you, he's pointing out to the Galatians, the Ephesians now, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The Spirit of is now at work in those who are disobedient. In the past tense. Were is a past tense. I learned that in 10th grade English and I don't know what it means, but it's done happened. You were dead because you were not in Christ. And those not in Christ are scheduled to be dead forever. Not rise that new resurrection and hope. You were dead. How? In your transgressions. In the growing up, if you went to, there's several different kinds of translations, New King James, Old King James, all the modern stuff. One of them says, we say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The other one says, forgive us our transgressors, our transgressions, for those who have transgressed against. It means to sin against, to bring harm to. So we were dead in our sins. That's what it is. And because of that, we had no hope until Jesus came. So he says, you were dead in your transgressions, which you used to live when you follow the ways of this world. What are the ways of the world? It's the ways of selfishness and evil and of Satan himself. The ruler of the air, the ruler of the world at that time is Satan. At this time still is Satan because Christ, though he defeated him by living and being resurrected from God, Satan still has control. And then when, that's two words don't work together. But when then God comes back for us, Satan will be defeated finally. You read about the beast being chained and thrown in the fiery pit and these type of things. That's when Satan loses ultimately. It's because he's just temporary. He's of this world. My toilet started leaking. Last night I decided at 8 o'clock to replace the toilet tank bolts. At 8 o'clock on a Saturday night. They're rusted all the way almost through. Yeah. So you turn the screw and it pops the threads right out of the screw. So then you go borrow your son-in-law's Sawzall. And you're cutting with a big, long, military-type 5,000 teeth blade between two pieces of china glass. You get the picture? Okay. Doesn't work all that well. We're going to buy a new toilet today on the way home. Don't start plumbing at 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock, guys. You know, it just doesn't work. But it was rusted from the corrosion of the air and the water and the chemicals we got. And it couldn't be worked on. It couldn't be loosened up. And Satan has corroded this world because of all the pollution he's thrown out from evil, from hatred, from lust, from pornography, to abuse. You know, kids are being kidnapped and families are being kidnapped and sold into sexual slavery now. Thousands. 40% of them are boys. Thousands and thousands. That's Satan working. Got to realize, don't let these things creep into us. All of us. Go back up. The Spirit is now working those who are disobedient. If you don't follow God, that Satan's going to be there. Something's going to be there. The world does not have a vacuum. So if God's not in your life, Satan will be in your life. It's just that simple. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we are by nature deserving of wrath. Did you ever get away with something, but you knew you deserved it? Punishment? A movie called High Winds Over Jamaica, 55 years ago, about a bunch of pirates. They had found a sinking ship and rescued three kids and put on their ship. But when the British Army Navy caught up with them, they thought they'd kidnapped the kids. So they hung them all. Well, these guys had really done a service. They hung them. And the guy said, "We didn't do anything." He said, "Yeah, but there's other things you did in life that you probably deserved hanging for anyway." You know, that's a fatalistic way of looking at it. But there are things we've done that we shouldn't, Paul says, and we need forgiveness of. He goes on. Verse 4. May I underline verse 4? You're allowed to underline if you want to, unless it's a church Bible. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. By his grace you are saved." We don't deserve any of it, except the punishment. That makes the rest of it then a gift. If you didn't earn it, it's a gift. The gift of salvation is called God's grace. And that is a gift. And I said gift intentionally. You cannot earn salvation. You can accept it. And that's what the good confession is. That's what the sleeve's too long. That's what the good confession is. That's what the immersion is. That's what a rising and walking news is. But it's a gift. All we've got to do is accept it. That's what Paul is trying to point out. We deserve all the punishments in the world, but because of Christ, they don't happen to us. I did not want, and I do not hope, that this sounds like a negative sermon, because to me it's just the opposite. Things may be bad, but it's getting better. As that sermon goes, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. They hung him on a cross. They beat him. They crucified him. They took him down and put him in a borrowed tomb. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. That Sunday, of course, is talking about the resurrection Sunday of Jesus. For our own lives, we're living every day is Friday. Some days are a lot of fun. Most days, if you make it, can be a good time. But it's minuscule. It's just Wendy's. You can buy a little card and they'll give you a free Frosty every time you go through. The Frosty's about as big as a Dixie cup. All they want you to do is say, "Oh, I like that Frosty. Let me have $20 worth or something like that." You're laughing, but you know what I'm talking about. It's an appetizer. There's a lot of appetizers for us. We should have fun. Go over next door and eat your dessert first. Just don't get all my dessert. Eat your dessert and have fun. But let me tell you what. at resurrection morning, when the saints in Christ shall rise, that's the day it's going to be fun. Our invitation to him today, Caroline, is what?
403.
I know she said it for 403. Stand with me as we sing hymn number 403.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hand the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open mine eyes, relumine me, Spirit divine.
In a moment, we're going to dismiss. I'd like anybody that is a Petticoat Junction. Remember, I'm from Joe Moving, kind of slow. If you take a little bit longer to walk, please lead the pack. Several of you know who I'm talking about. And we're going to have a good time of fellowship. Lord God, we thank you for allowing us to be in your house. It's a privilege to be sharing with fellow Christians, those who believe and know the gospel. Help us to be strong in our service. Help us to be patient and be kind to others. Give us a good time of fellowship and bless this food we're about to eat and to prepare. Pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. Ladies, that'll lead the way.
Okay. 368. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or other way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you next week. 638. Okay.